Is it Drop the Boy? Is it I Owe You Nothing?
Yeah, no, drop the Boys. That has a bit more depth to it, that song, than this one.
Righto, so you said, what'd you say, 58?
Yep.
Righto, I reckon Craig Gabriel, because they're big in the UK, these two, and I know that Craig Gabriel is bigger than anyone in the UK at the moment. Has been for a long time now. He's covering the French Open for us on RSN Breakfast, and we're very appreciative of that. Craig, good morning.
Gentlemen, good morning.
Can you tell me, because I'm sure they're in the Rolodex, how old Matthew and Luke Goss are today, please?
Well, you know what? The thing is, with them, we had a bit of a fallout.
Oh.
So I took them out of the Rolodex. We don't exchange cards or anything like that. So,
What happened? Yeah,
they didn't get my permission when they wrote that song about being famous.
Well, that's disappointing feedback, because what you've become known as around here is a friend of the stars. Not just in sport.
Real stars, not them.
So do you know how old they are?
Pardon?
Do you know how old they are?
No, as I said, I wiped them clean. I didn't even look at anything to do with them, so...
Right. Well, if you were mates again, you could wish them a happy 52nd birthday today. Well, so you're outside the window, 52nd. Whitey.
52nd.
That's not going to happen.
52 today for the Goss Boys from Bross.
The problem is they look way more than 52.
Oh, now this is... That's why you fall out, because you keep abusing them, Craig. That's why. You keep abusing them. Now, tell us what's happened at Roland Garros overnight. Rafa got through, did he?
Rafa did get through, and relatively well, 6-4, 6-4, 6-2 against Igor, Igor Gerasimov of Belarus. And so he's still figuring that the conditions are not good for him because they're too heavy and stuff like that. But anyway, he's through. Dominic Thiem got through, also in straight sets. Serena Williams had a slow start. She was trailing for almost the entire first set and then ended up winning the first set on a tie break, and after that just raced through the match, 6-love in the second. So those were some of those center court matches, Philippe Chatrier matches. But there is a potential major upset that could be unfolding on court Suzanne Longlan, which is the second biggest court. The number 4 seed, Daniil Medvedev, is playing Marton Fukovic of Hungary, and you've got to be careful how you say his name. The Hungarian has won the first two sets, 6-4, 7-6, and Medvedev is up a break in the third at 2-1, but he's not a happy camper. One racket is never going to be used again. And it'll be perfect for hitting around the net post. But that's what's happening right now. And John Newman is on court. He's lost the first set, 6-3, to Pablo Carreño Busta, the Spaniard who reached the semifinals of the U.S. Open a couple of weeks ago. He's the 17th seed here. These conditions are perfect for Carreño Busta. It hasn't been a good day for the Australians. Two have finished. Both lost, James Duckworth, as well as... Alexander Vukic, who came through the qualifying rounds. And I spoke to Vukic afterwards, and it's the first time he's been in the main draw of one of the majors, and he picks up €60,000. He came through the qualifying, and he said that's going to come in very handy because that'll go back into his tennis rather than investing or anything like that. But he feels he quite likes it from this sort of an environment and this sort of level of tournament.
Well, that's good news for the young Aussie with a little bit of cash in the pocket. Jordan Thompson, he went down as well in straight sets, did he?
Yeah, that was yesterday. Yesterday was absolutely miserable after the first day of the tournament. The six Australians that played, only two advanced, and both of them were the women players, Astra Sharma and Daria Gavrilova. They won't be playing again tomorrow, but they'll play the day after. I mean, the French Open, rather, plays first rounds across 3 days. So, that was not a good start yesterday. And as I said, it's not proving too good today with two out of the three gone and the third one in trouble.
It's been really interesting, Craig, just listening to a lot of the commentary around the conditions, because it clearly, and you talked about this yesterday, it's clearly so different to what we're used to with the French Open. But, you know, you're seeing players wearing tracksuit pants and long sleeve tops. It looks like sort of, you know, night social tennis on a Tuesday night in the middle of winter. But it is very different. And, you know, some of the players are not coping with it.
They're not happy with it. They really aren't. You know, I thought Vika Azarenka's line yesterday was priceless. She said, "This is too cold. I live in Florida. This is too cold." They haven't been very happy with the conditions. But I think they should be damn well grateful in the fact that they're being able to play a major, and that the French Federation have pulled all sorts of strings and done whatever they have been able to do to put this event together and have it be played. So, you know, a couple of the players have made that comment in between, saying the conditions are awful. So, they've been complaining about the balls, which are Wilson balls rather than Babolat balls, which have always been used. And they said it's making it even heavier and slower.
One of the comments Alf, was that they wouldn't give those balls to a dog.
Yeah, that was from Dan Evans. I mean, Dan Evans should just be grateful he's playing.
Yeah, Dan, sit down and shut up, mate.
Yes, exactly right. He's only the 32nd seed. He hasn't got the authority to be babbling after what he's been through in his personal life that kept him off the tour for about a year because of a banning. So just get on and play. You know what I mean?
Kei Nishikori took him out, didn't he?
Yes, and nicely too. And Kei has hardly played. Kei has played very, very little tennis in the last 12 months. So that was a big effort.
What about the performance of Lorenzo Giustino, who I've been told that played the second longest ever French Open match?
Yeah. I mean, those two guys it was the match that delayed everything for John Millman, apart from a delay to the start of play because of rain at the beginning. But that match was carried over from yesterday. They didn't get it completed. Why, I don't know, considering they've got lights and they should have been able to finish it. But they finished today, and it was 18-16 in the fifth set. So, that certainly put a spanner in the works with the schedule. That's why John Millman is on so late. I think he went on court close to about 9:30.
Right. Well, there's another big one brewing at the moment, too. Tenda Sangren and Herbez Hercats are 8-all in the fifth as well.
I haven't been watching that one. I would like to see Herbez Hercats of Poland win that match. I'm not a huge Tenda Sangren fan.
No, well, it's been a pretty good match, even Stevens, all the way through, so we'll see how that goes. I just did want to touch on Gael Monfils, who gets a lot of conversation in the world of tennis. It's his home open, of course, the Frenchman, and the number 8 seed, I think, too. Craig, and here is Gonski.
He's Gonski to Alexander Bublitsky. Bublik is a great guy. I mean, Nick Kyrgios said he'd pay money to watch Bublik play, even if he's playing against him. Bublik ended up winning 6-4, 7-5, 3-6, 6-3. So that didn't go down too well with the handful of French fans that were in the arena. They're allowed only 1,000 spectators a day. So there wasn't that huge French local Parisian support for Monfils. And that's it. So the number 8 seed is out. Look, there have been quite a few seeds fall again today. Fabio Fognini, the 14th seed, he's Gonski. Angie Kerber, Angie Kerber, you would never, ever put your house on Angie Kerber when she's playing. I mean, she's so flaky, it's not funny. Also going out, Karolina Muskova, the 22nd seed. Svetlana Kuznetsova, the 28th seed. Who else, because I know there were a few. I mentioned Kerber. So, the first 2 days have certainly been a bit of carnage. Madison Keys, 12th seed, gone. Krajinovic, 26. Vondrousova, 15. Vondrousova was the finalist last year to Ash Barty.
Yeah, Yeah, that's right. That's right. That was one of our quiz questions, I think, Whitey, through the
RSN breakfast quiz. Surprised me to some degree. Félix Auger-Aliassime, the 19th seat, also Gonski.
Well, it's a festival of Gonskis over there at Roland Garros at the moment, which does create a bit of excitement, a bit of energy in the competition, a bit of, in the tournament, I reckon, Craig. So I'm okay with all that.
They've been turned into croissants.
Oh, oui, oui. Love you. The baguette.
And the baguette. Yes, you beat me to it.
Well, as long as you get some croissant and baguette into you for breakfast, then we'll all be happy, Craig. Always nice to chat. Thank you for the update.
Merci, au revoir.
Yeah, oui, whatever that means. Now, the Goss brothers, we're disappointed they've fractured their relationship with Craig.
Yeah, that's disappointing. Well, he does seem to have a love-hate relationship with a lot of people, Craig. I hope there wasn't too many tennis players listening to that conversation. He doesn't mind giving a few of them a whack.
not afraid. Afraid to call a spade is our man.
The ball situation at the French Open is fascinating because, as Craig said, usually it's the Babolat ball and they're like rocks. Have you ever played with those balls?
Which ones? The Babolats?
Tennis balls. The tennis balls. The Babolat ones.
I don't know.
Yeah, no, they're like rocks. If you play on like a synthetic grass tennis court or a plexi-paved court or something like that, it's the bounce really high because they're used to, well, they're being played on a really heavy surface. So what's happening with these Wilson balls is they're not bouncing as much. They're fluffing up really quickly and deteriorating quite quickly, which is why the comment was made about the giving the ball to a dog. But we're seeing, I don't think, you know, a lot more underarm serves because the guys are right back. And then they do the underarm serve, and there's no chance of getting there because the ball doesn't bounce as much and all these sorts of things. So that combined with the cool conditions, or the cold conditions, it has been very difficult. It has been very different to watch than what would normally be the case, which is why they're saying Rafa, it takes away a hell of a lot of his advantage because he likes the harder ball. He likes the faster conditions because of the spin that he generates on the ball. There's a girl that played last night. She ran out of rackets because of the cold conditions. She broke all the strings on her rackets that were in her bag, and she had to borrow one of her coach's rackets that was sitting up in the grandstand.
Are you serious?
Yeah, and not from smashing them, but just from breaking strings.
Well, she needs to work on her string tension. She needs to understand the conditions a bit better. She hasn't planned for this very well. She deserves to be out. Did she lose?
I think she did, yeah.
Well, I'm pleased about that.
That'd be difficult without
Katarina Zawadzka is who it was. Yeah. Three rackets in the space of 10 minutes. In her 2-6-6-2-6 love loss to Dutch fifth seed Kiki Bertens, your girl, on course Suzanne Lejeune. We love a bit of Suzanne Lejeune.
Big Premier League game before we go to a break. Just thought I'd mention it's being played at the moment after 88 minutes. It is Liverpool 3, Arsenal 1.
Liverpool 3, Arsenal 1. Who's expected to win that?
Liverpool. Well, Liverpool would be expected to win that. But I believe Arsenal scored first.
Righto.
I think.
Off the SMS, good news, Eugenie Bouchard is playing well.
Yes. Arsenal did score first. Yes, Bouchard had a win.
Is that two wins or just the first one?
No, just the first one.
Just the first one. She's coming to it with some form. Eugenie, so they tell me, which is good news. Did you know on this day in 2007, this was a very important day for the world of Australian rules football, because this was the day that the all-conquering, super-exciting Geelong football team cemented their place as one of the all-time great teams with a 119-point victory over Port Adelaide in the grand final on this day in 2007. And they played sexy fast footy, and they got a great result, and they transformed the game. Because it was being a bit staid and stodgy up until that point with West Coast and Sydney. They transformed the game and got great results. And then everyone decided, oh, we can do a bit of this, get a bit sexy with our footy and make it fun again. We need that team to come back.
I picked Port Adelaide that day. They lost by 20 goals. I thought they were good value at around the $3.
Grand final days. We're at Friends Place. And... yeah, expecting a big afternoon of tension and drama and activity. Quarter time, we were out in the street kicking the footy ourselves. Yeah. We got enough.
I remember that day, the build-up to that day, because Mark Williams heaped a hell of a lot of pressure on Geelong. about the team that couldn't win grand finals, the pressure's all on them, they'll be spooked. He really put it onto the Cats to try and get in their heads. It didn't work.
Didn't go well for the Power that day. 119 points. It's a large margin. The biggest in grand final history in the VFL, AFL. I'm sure Jimmy's celebrating with a cup of tea this morning. What is that? 13 years ago. 13 years ago today. Well, it wasn't 13 years ago since we've had a winner on the Early Mail. It's been 13 hours, maybe. Another winner yesterday. We are on so much fire, it's not funny. 3 in 4 days. And good returns as well. And that will continue today at one of our real sweet spots at Swan Hill.